Well, this is a little bit of a different time here this morning on Get to Know You Sunday. In just a few minutes, we'll go right through those doors. And I believe the coffee is ready. Our CCO, Chief Coffee Officer, has gone out. Or maybe it's the CDDO, the Chief Dunkin' Donuts Officer. I don't know. But thank you for whoever provided that. And we look forward to getting to know each other and just sharing what God has done in our lives. We did it last night, actually, at the youth group. But in spite of the bad weather, we scraped away the ice and came up the stairs. And we had a wonderful time of just sharing our hearts with one another. Many of the students opened up about what God was doing in their lives, and it was fantastic. So I hope that can happen again this morning. So I want to open up my heart to you just for the next probably 25 minutes of what God has been telling me. Now, this isn't necessarily what I needed in terms of helping me grow closer to Him. Some of it is, some of it isn't. Some of it is just an insight to truth. And I was just impressed with it, and I wanted to share it with you. So it's really neat to be able to share the things that God has given to you. And one of the things that God has been telling me is that don't be quiet. I mean, be humble. Don't be arrogant. You know, don't be too aggressive, but don't be too shy. If God says something to you, share it on in the appropriate way. Because when God says something to you, sometimes it's not just for you. It's for someone else. We don't know who that somebody is. So just be sensitive to Him and share it. So here we go. Temptation is an unwanted guest. This is a quote that I heard from somewhere. Temptation is an unwanted guest into your home. It only becomes your family when you adopt it. I like that. Temptation is an unwanted guest. You didn't invite that temptation. Temptation is not sin. It came into your mind. It's only a guest. Don't make it a family member. And it only becomes a family member when you adopt it. It's kind of like a mosquito, right? You can't keep a mosquito from landing on your hand. Or maybe you can if you see it coming. But when you feel it there, you don't have to let it suck your blood, right? You can just, boom, it's gone. And unfortunately, many have sucked our blood in Indonesia, and we got pretty sick. But you see what I'm saying? You don't have to entertain something. Satan will want to make you think that temptation is sin. He's like, how can you think that stuff? What in the world? Who are you? You've blown it again, you know? If you were pure, you wouldn't even have those thoughts. Well, that's not necessarily true. Temptation is temptation, so resist it. Just an interesting quote. Make Jesus number 5. I actually came up with about 50 of them. I keep this journal. I forgot to say this. I keep this journal. I don't know how many you journal. How many of you journal, by the way? Yeah, it's a great practice. Well, I went and highlights. I went back and highlighted all the things the last 12 months of the main things that God shared with me. And then out of those highlights, I took 50. There were several hundred, but I took 50 of those highlights and I put them on this piece of paper. And I'm going to share with you about 20 of those highlights. So this is the highlight of the highlight. and I hope it's a blessing to you. But number 5, make Jesus the most important person to you. Make Jesus the most important person to you. Remember number 6. Remember the parable of the different soils. I thought this was cool. There was the footpath, right, where the seed was sown and it didn't go in, and the birds came and took it away. And then there was the rocky soil that was shallow. And then there was the thorny soil, right, where the thorns and the thistles sort of stole everything away and it couldn't grow. And then there was the good soil. When we hear the truth, there are 4 main responses. We can reject the truth. We can resist the truth. We can replace the truth. Or we can respond to the truth. I thought that was a nice way to think of it. Don't reject the truth when you hear it. Don't resist it. Don't receive it with joy, but then don't let it go too far. In a few minutes, we'll be going through those doors. And this will be an opportunity for you to share a little bit deeper and at Sunday school, perhaps of what how the truth has affected you. Let it go a little bit deeper than usual. Don't be like that rocky soil that says, yeah, this is good, but you don't want it to affect your life too much. Don't resist it. Or don't replace the truth by distraction. You hear something really good, and then the next thing you know, you're clicking on this, or you're reading this, or you're doing this, and through the distractions, it doesn't really marinate in your life like a good piece of meat in a wonderful sauce. You know, it just sort of just takes you away. And then make sure that you respond to the truth when it does come. Number 7, don't look for a vision, look for a verse. What does that mean? Don't look for a vision, look for a verse. If you're thinking, Lord, what is the next step in my life? Knowing the will of God can't be not easy. And it shouldn't be easy, because if it was too easy, we wouldn't get close to God, which is what he wants anyway, right? I mean, he does want us to reveal his will to you. But more importantly, he wants you. He wants you. And by making things a little bit difficult, whatever that indecision is, he enjoys the process as much as the product. So a verse in the Bible will get you close to God. And I'm not saying that you open your Bible and you pick and choose and say, okay, this is it. But one of the best ways to know God is to get near God. And one of the best ways to get near God is to get near his word. So use the word primarily as a way to give direction into your life. Number 8, be a person of integrity, humility, and generosity. Think of those three words. I'm just giving you some random things right now. I know they're not necessarily related, but you want to write these down, feel free. Be a person of integrity, humility, and generosity. Integrity replaces lust of the flesh. Humility replaces the pride of life. And generosity replaces the lust of the eyes. So if you struggle with the lust of the flesh, wanting to experience everything you see, you can call that hedonism. Be a man or a woman of integrity, of principle. Don't compromise. If you struggle with lust of the eyes, what we can say is materialism, everything you see, you know, you want. Well, instead of being a person of consumption, be a person of generosity. Just do the opposite. Give what you already have away. And if you're a proudful person, be humble. Admit your mistakes and receive help from someone else. Do you see? If you live with integrity, humility, and generosity, you will be able to combat the three major forces of the evil one. Isn't that cool? Just memorize that. Integrity, humility, generosity. Think of that throughout the day. Write it out. And that'll be a good weapon against those three big ones. We don't want to be people of hedonism, materialism, or egotism, right? We want to be able to be people of principle, not of possessions and passion and pride. Here's an interesting one, number 14. I do a lot of wide reading on a lot of wide variety of subjects. As a pastor, I have to keep in touch with not only the culture of and the concepts of the Bible, but the culture around us, and we all do, not just me. But here's a good one I read. Don't define your sexual identity according to feelings, but define your sexual identity according to fact. Your human body, I was reading this one article, I thought it was really cool. And this person was saying that your body has a moral message to it, a moral message. You were created male or you were created female. Well, what happens when your thinking disagrees with the way in which you were made? Who's right? Right? your body has a moral message. It tells you exactly what your gender should be. Well, what happens when that disagrees with what you're thinking? Well, when it disagrees with what you're thinking, the body wins. When your moral message of your body disagrees with the immoral message of your mind, your body wins. You see, because the mind has as a product of the fall. And I'm not saying you're necessarily sinful. You may just be a victim or whatever. I don't want to go into it. But your thinking's not the way it should be. Your thinking has been affected. It has been dirtied. So it's conflicting with reality. And when that conflicts with reality, you have a choice before you. Follow this. You have the choice of living with the frustration, not you, but I'm saying those who struggle in this area, but those who struggle with their identity, and we hear a lot about that in the news, they have a choice. They can either live with the frustration of resisting that temptation to change who they are, or they can give in to the consequences of changing who they are. So you have two choices. A person who is confused in that way, and I say that lovingly, they can either say, oh, I'm going to resist changing my gender, or trying to change my gender. I'm going to resist it. I've decided to live with that frustration. You know, it's not right, and I'm going to live with it. Or they can say, I can't live with that frustration. I just can't, and I've talked to many, they just can't live with that frustration, and they just give in. Well, the Bible says that the consequences of that decision is worse than living with the frustration. You're better off living with the frustration of just resisting it. And it's frustrating, and you will be somewhat miserable, you will, because it's that old nature, that wrong nature that's wanting to take over, and there's some attraction there, even though it's not a real one. But best to live with that frustration. But here's the good news, guys. God can take away that frustration, but he can't prevent those consequences necessarily. I mean, he can make all things work together for good. We got a fantastic closing song that talks about that. I'm not saying consequences are that's it and it's all over. No, it's not. But, you know, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose its consequence. In other words, consequences are worse than the frustration. So the good news is this. Don't live in the consequences. Live with the frustration. But here's the good news. God can reduce that frustration. And he can remove that frustration to the point where you don't even have frustration anymore. Hopefully, this side of heaven. You see, he can do something about that. And so, that's the good news. And that's the news you can share with someone who's struggling in this area. Yeah, you're frustrated. But God has an answer to that frustration. If you read the Bible, if you renew your mind. But if you do the consequences and you give into it, it's just going to be worse. Because the wages of sin is always death. It's a thought there. Here's a good one. Number 18. Care about what Jesus cares about. By the way, let's stop and pray for just a second, can we? Father, we want to pray for those in the world that have a gender issue. And we want to lovingly ask God that you would help those who are suffering. Maybe some of us know them, friend of a friend, or maybe even a personal friend or a family member. We pray for those people that they will get their identity in you and that you would help change their thinking. They may have been a victim and it may not be any of their fault. But Lord, they have a responsibility, we all do, and I pray, God, that they will just reach out to you and get their identity and their orientation from the way in which you created them. Help us not to be judgmental, but help us to speak the truth in love. There's that balance. In Jesus' name, amen. So here, care for what Jesus cares about. I love this. This is Rick Warren. I don't listen to only him, but he's good. He has a way of saying things that really stick in your mind. Care what Jesus cares about. Be indifferent what Jesus is indifferent about. and get angry about what Jesus gets angry about. This is pretty cool. Care what Jesus cares about. Jesus cares about the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And we are evidence of that right here. All our different backgrounds, and we now know the Lord. Care about what Jesus... Jesus cares about two primary things, the world and the church. There's only a few things that live forever, right? The Word of God, God himself, and people. Those are the things he really cares about. And that's what we should be making our priority, right? Can I ask you a question? And I don't mean to put a guilt trip on you, just a God trip. And that's this. Will there be anyone in heaven who is there as a result of you? If you think about that, and I was like, oh, I wish he didn't say that. Will there be anyone in heaven who is there as a result of you? You know, when you walk through those gates and somebody comes running up to you and say, oh, thank you so much for teaching Sunday school. Thank you so much for writing that letter of encouragement. Thank you so much for praying. I'm a result of what you did. Not that we want the glory, but, you know, it sort of gives us an eternal perspective on what we should really be caring about. You say, well, I am really a little bit afraid to reach out and do evangelism. Well, start by praying. Say, Lord, I'm afraid of witnessing. I'm afraid of sharing my story. Give me boldness. Lord, I honestly don't know any unbelievers. I hang around with believers all the time. I just don't know any. Bring some into my path. And Lord, those that you've already brought into my path, would you? I'm not good, Lord, at starting conversations. You know, he's just praying this prayer. Lord, I'm not really good at starting spiritual conversations. Would you bring up a spiritual conversation with my workmate, my classmate, my family member, my neighbor? Just bring up the topic, Lord, so I have a chance to talk about it. And by the way, if you need more of these truelife.org cards that have wonderful video answers to life questions, I've got many more. Please come up and pick them out, because you could at least give a card to someone. And so care about what Jesus cares about. Be indifferent with what Jesus is indifferent about. Have you thought about that? Jesus can be indifferent. In other words, he can just like not care about something. Jesus not caring about something? How could Jesus not care about? I thought Jesus cares about everything. Well, let me put it this way. Jesus really doesn't care about human tradition that much, right? The Pharisees, he just doesn't really care about that much. He spoke about it, but he's like, I'm not going to spend my time in that. Jesus doesn't care about those who seek only to get rich. That's not something he cares about. No, there's nothing wrong with having funds so you can give them away, but, you know, the love of money kind of thing. Jesus doesn't really care about the latest celebrity tabloid. Or here's the big one. The latest Christian celebrity tabloid, right? Oh, the person, the great leader who just fell away. I got to find out what happened, you know. Oh, the one who's, you know, has this kind of strange theology. Oh, I got to find out what that theology is. Oh, he doesn't believe that hell's eternal anymore. So, you know, those are tabloids, you know. What do I need to know about a Christian celebrity's, you know, family issues? Well, why do I need to know that? You know, I mean, we need to be aware and careful. We need to learn lessons from life. But that's something that Jesus is concerned about, but it's not something that we should be preoccupied with, right? So, I mean, there are some other examples about that. But Jesus wants us to get angry about what Jesus gets angry about, or get concerned. Here we go. Get concerned about what Jesus gets concerned about. Jesus wants us to go. Here's a good mission statement. Are you looking for a good mission statement in your life? I mean, all the Chinese convention mission conferences and any missions conferences could sum up their entire mission statement with this one phrase. Go everywhere and tell everyone the good news. Go everywhere and tell everyone about the good news. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Greek there is actually, in your going, go and preach the gospel and preach the good news. Wherever you are going, preach. Wherever you are, share. So in your going, and in your going, and in your intentional going, if you want to go overseas. So go everywhere and tell everyone the good news. It all needs to be done. And third, get angry about what Jesus gets angry about. What does Jesus get angry about? If Jesus got really angry, what would he really get angry about? Injustice, poverty, pain, the needs that of children that go unmet, the suffering in the world. Oh, I mean, his blood would just boil in a sense. Now, he wouldn't do anything sinfully angry, but he would say, wake up, we got to get this done. And then he would do something about it. What is that holy discontent in your life? You have a discontent about something, but it's a holy discontent. It's like, oh, I've got to do it. I can't stand it anymore. I can't just sit back and watch this suffering and this justice happen. I can't just stand back and let these innocent people suffer. Somebody is being neglected in your family or even at the church. And you're like, enough's enough. Enough is enough. No more. This person can no longer be neglected. I am the one that reached out to them. You know what I'm saying? There are things you can get angry about, but then use that anger, you know, and be proactive and do something about it. Number 20, the best way to destroy today is to regret yesterday and worry about tomorrow. The best way, if you want to really destroy today, you want to get depressed, let me tell you, you can get depressed. Okay, this will work every single time. Regret yesterday. I mean, beat yourself. Oh my goodness. I mean, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I could have been so foolish. Just regret it. Just live in condemnation. Don't get convicted. Learn from it and go on. Oh, no, no, no. Don't do that. That's too godly. Just, you know, let that ball of chain be an anchor in your around your foot that it causes you not to be able to move. Oh, that's a good way to destroy today. Or worry about tomorrow. You're always living in the future. Don't let fear guide you. Let faith guide you. Live in the power of Jesus Christ. Just a few more. A number before you have a chance to share. Number 26, we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. Every unhealthy fear is a misunderstanding of who God is. Every unhealthy fear is a misunderstanding of who God is. You want to have healthy fear, a healthy respect from God, then have a wonderful understanding of God's power. I can't control number 28. I can't control what gets my attention, but I can control what keeps it. Often you can't control what gets your attention. Sometimes you can, but sometimes you can't. But I can control who keeps it, and you can control who keeps it. Man is most free when he is controlled by God alone. That was a quote from St. Augustine. Man is most free when he is controlled by God alone. You are going to be controlled by someone. You are going to be controlled by someone. Who is going to control you? You, the world, or God? You know, choose. Choose whoever you choose. Choose God. You might be a victim. Here's another one. It's in here somewhere, but I can't find it. You might be a victim of something that happened in your past. Listen to this. This is really, really important, guys. You may be a victim of what happened in the past, and it wasn't your fault. Could be something you grew up with. Maybe it was a poor decision you made or whatever. You might be a victim of it. It's not your fault. But it is your responsibility to do something about it. It may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility to do something about it. What do I mean? Say, for example, you grew up in a very perfectionistic family, or you grew up never been able to do something right. And so you continue to demand that of other people, child or friend. And you're always critical, constantly, why didn't you do that? In fact, you never compliment, you never encourage. I'm not getting down on you. I'm just talking about the concept right now. You never encourage someone. It's always, you only talk to someone when they're doing something wrong. I mean, we all do that. It's a form of perfectionism, but. And so instead of getting help, I mean, you don't like doing that, but you do it anyway because that's the only way you know how to talk. Well, you can continue doing that and live as a victim and the results of that kind of mentality, or you can get help. And take responsibility means get help, get counseling, talk to a friend, and try to change that. You see what I'm saying? That sometimes we have this victim sort of mindset that I am a result of something, and therefore I am free from doing anything about it. Does that make sense? You're not free to not do anything about it. If something happened to you, I'm sorry. I really am. God's sorry. This shouldn't have happened to you. It's been an injustice, and it was wrong. But don't let that injustice and that wrong continue generation after generation. Do something about it. Break that cycle. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we think about how you can make all things new, no matter what our background has been, it's freeing. It really is freeing. And all of us have struggled with something in our background that it just hasn't been fair. But it wasn't from you. And we're sorry if we've blamed you, because you always want the best for us. You're a loving Father. And so we ask that you would forgive those who perhaps have hurt us. And if we can't forgive them, then help us to forgive them. And at the same time, Lord, help us now to not repeat that mistake. The person hurt us once. Why are we allowing them to hurt us again? The person hurt us once through this injustice. Why are we allowing them to hurt us again by causing us to live with the pain and then inflicting that pain upon someone else? The person hurt us once. Why are we allowing that person to hurt other people through us? They've already hurt us. Why are we allowing them to hurt others through us? And then those other people to other people. Why are we allowing them to continue hurting? We need to stop that. Help us to get help. And there is help. Lord, thank you so much for these lessons on life. And now we're going to think a little bit more about those lessons and share with those lessons in our group. And I hope that we'll have the courage and the transparency to do that. And bless us now as we seek your face and worship in Jesus' name.